The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Leaven is mentioned some 13 times in the Bible. Was it usually a positive thing or a negative thing? And how did Jesus use leaven positively in his Kingdom of Heaven parable, Matthew 13? We thank you for joining us today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are a free grace organization. And if you'd like to know more about us, you can find us at faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion about leaven, here are Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin.
During lunch, we were talking, and you used to be a plus handicap in golf.
Why do you keep saying that?
People now,
I meet them at GS conferences, and they go, wow, you shot under par. I mean, that was for a small window in my life.
And Now you're still like, you know, a three or something, or a two or a three?
Maybe if I'm playing a lot, but that'd be on a real good day.
I played with Steve one time at tennis, and he waxed me, beat me by about 20 strokes. It was exciting.
Well, something I'm thankful for is people, men, begin losing their distance around 65 to 70.
Yeah? Do you still hit the ball a long way?
Even on the professional tour. Thankfully, I still have my distance. I don't know how much longer I'm going to have of that. I hope sometime, Lord willing. But age-wise, my putting and my chipping is just not like it used to be.
Yeah.
You don't have the feel as well. Your eyes are not quite as good. There's a lot of things that factor in. So I'm seeing it chip away.
Yeah, and yip away.
Yeah, and yip away. Exactly. Big time. Absolutely. Your nerves are frazzled when you get old.
All right. Today we're going to talk about, how is the kingdom of heaven like leaven? What in the world is this parable of the leaven about? It's in Matthew 13. What verse?
33. In fact, this might be the mustard seed of all the parables because it's the
so
smallest.
Small, yeah.
One verse. Even the parable about the mustard seed is two verses. And this, like the smallest seed, like the mustard seed was in appearance, this is like the smallest parable.
So go ahead and read it, and then let's talk about it.
Well, right at the tail of the mustard seed parable comes this one. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Now, Bob, here's something interesting. The word leaven is used 13 times in the New Testament.
I did not know
Yes,
that.
Yes, and I, by my count offhand, 11 of them or in a negative sense, like reference to sin or something
the Pharisee,
evil.
He would talk about the leaven of the Pharisees or a little leaven, leaven's the whole lump, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Leaven is associated with sin in many cases.
Exactly. And maybe because
or false teaching.
Yeah. Maybe because of its permeating character. A little sin can end up being a lot of sin.
Okay. So now what is leaven? They put leaven in with the grain when they cooked it so that it would rise. Is that correct?
Or in with the yeast. I mean, I'm not an expert on this, but it causes the yeast to rise.
So that's why with unleavened bread, it's just a cracker.
Exactly. And they did that, I assume, so that they could travel quickly and get out of there. Bruce Waltke commented on Exodus 12 and the Passover passage, the symbolism of it all. And one of the things, they were in such a hurry to get out of there to just take unleavened bread with them, don't wait. And that would speak in our Christian life that we need to get the heck out of Dodge in the sense of with our spiritual lives and get rid of the sin. And the New Testament encourages that over and over to lay aside the sin and the old man and all that and get on with the new life that you have in Christ.
But this is one of maybe just two places in the New Testament where leaven is used positively.
Right. At least not negatively, just neutral. And so what do you think of when you think of leaven? You think of it.
Something causes expansion?
That causes expansion and its permeating qualities. I don't know a lot of, we should have an expert baker.
Yeah.
But there's a permeating facet and quality to it also. And how would that apply to the kingdom of heaven, Bob?
Well, I assume, like the parable before this with the mustard seed, that it's talking about the fact that the kingdom is going to grow. But the question really, and we kind of had the same issue with the mustard seed, the kingdom is not now. So in a sense, if we say that the kingdom is growing, what we really mean is the citizens of the kingdom are growing, right?
That's a good point we need to bring out. In Philippians, Paul talks about our citizenship is in heaven.
Right.
And in Colossians, it talks about how God has metathesized us, transferred us from the state of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, that doesn't mean that the kingdom is here already.
But we are citizens of
the kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom. We're registered in the kingdom. We're going to be in the kingdom when it gets here. We're as good as there. But that phrase doesn't mean the kingdom's already here.
We're like resident aliens on earth.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what Peter says we are.
Yeah. So very good. So the parable of the leaven is basically saying that what we can anticipate is that people will be coming to faith in Christ, regardless of how dire things look. Around the world, people are coming to faith in Christ.
Exactly. You know, there's always going to be a remnant, I believe.
Yeah.
Too, even in the worst of times. And I think we can, in the free grace movement, think, woe is me, our group is so small. Those who believe the gospel in the narrow gate fashion that we do, that salvation truly is by grace through faith, apart from works of any kind. There's not that many people, even within Christendom, it seems like, that believe that. But the fact is, there's actually, even now, a whole lot. Many more, I think, like in Elijah's day, many more than we would have ever thought who haven't bowed the knee to that Baal.
He thought he was the only one.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, I have 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about the narrow gate, I had a little Bible study this morning with a fellow early in the morning, and he was asking about the narrow gate concept.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you think of the billions of people who've lived through the ages and all of the world's religions are work salvation, even though there are, I assume, billions of people who are going to have come to faith in Christ by the end of the age, that's a small number compared to the many who went through the wide gate that leads to destruction.
And by the way, that brings up a point. During the millennium, the kingdom is going to be growing exponentially.
Yes.
So this could even refer to that.
Yeah.
I mean, during the millennium, it's going to start out with we don't know how many people, because it's going to be basically probably the children who come out of the tribulation that populate the millennium. Maybe that would also include the believing adult Jews mm-hmm. and adult Gentiles. Depends on how you understand various scripture. But in any regard, we're going to be talking about a relatively small number of people, a few million in natural bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end, there's evidently going to be untold billions.
Right.
I mean, probably far bigger than our current world population.
And that could be an argument, too, for Zane's view, and I know your view, too, that it's possible that those who died before the age of accountability, like babies, might be some of whom that repopulate the millennial kingdom.
That's a possibility. And by the way, I saw something that someone had written about that recently, and I just wanted to clarify because it's mm-hmm. possible to get confused. I don't believe there will be anybody in the millennial kingdom or on the new earth who has everlasting life who did not believe in Jesus.
Right.
My view is if the children who die below the age of accountability, or the people who don't have the mental ability to mm-hmm. believe, if they are simply given access to the kingdom and they're resurrected so they now have a body that will not decay, they become immortal, in my view, they would be people who do not have eternal life, but they have an eternal relationship with God like the angels.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Scripture, those who have everlasting life are those who have believed in the Lord Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, who died for them on the cross, John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do not hold the view of postmortem conversion for mm-hmm. anybody.
Mm.
The exception would be, of course, people who were raised from the dead. Like there were, you know, at least seven people that Jesus raised from the dead we know of in his ministry. And there were many others. The apostles raised people from the dead. Elijah, even when someone mm-hmm. fell on his bones, they were raised from the dead. Those people, their life is not over.
Right.
And so if what I'm suggesting is true, then maybe these people would have an opportunity to live out their natural life in the millennium. But instead of living 60, 80, or 100 years, they'd live 1,000 years. Because it looks like, based on Isaiah 65, I think it's verse 20, people are going to live like the whole 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, in 1 Peter 3, when it says that the Lord preached to those
who are now in prison?
Exactly. There's a famous creed, and many people believe this, that Christ went down to hell, maybe while he was in the tomb, but went down to hell and preached to those in hell.
So, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to mark that as incorrect on the exam because it seems to me if you read that context, it's talking about Noah, and Noah in his day mm-hmm. preached to people who are now
yeah.
in Sheol.
Yeah, that seems...
But they weren't in Sheol when Noah was preaching to them.
Right, man, that's an easy, straightforward way to understand it.
Right.
And that Jesus was speaking through Noah.
Right.
Right.
It just like Jesus spoke through all of the people. Enoch was a prophet, according to Jude.
Exactly.
You know, he prophesied about the second coming of Christ.
And this is a major point in another passage, 2 Corinthians 13, that Lordship people often use to say you're to examine yourself to see whether you're a believer or not. That's not what Paul's saying.
2 Corinthians 13:5-7.
Yeah, he's saying examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith or not. That doesn't mean whether you're a believer, but whether you're living by the Christian doctrines and so forth. But the real issue was, he says, you want proof from me that Jesus is speaking through me?
Yes.
Well, you're all the proof I need, you know, that they had come to Christ through Paul's ministry. But Paul was saying to them, too, in effect, don't you know that Jesus is in you, too?
That's right.
And we should understand that. And I hope, count on it, that when we're sharing, when we're teaching God's word, I hope we're counting on it and hoping for the Lord to be speaking through us.
Yes, that's, I think, what happened with Noah, and that's what should happen with all of us.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is 2 Corinthians 13:5-7 mentions approved and disapproved all through verses 5, 6, and 7. And that's the real issue.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Corinthian believers approved? He says, I trust you know we are not adokimoi. We are not disapproved.
Right.
In other words, Paul and his team were approved workmen. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15, approved workmen need not be ashamed. The whole issue there is approval. And so I think, as more and more citizens of the kingdom come, the aim for all of us should be to be people who are living in light of that coming kingdom. It's not here, but we're living in light of it so that when it comes, we may hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and we may rule and reign with Christ.
Right. And in Jesus' day, who would have thought that the relatively few people that believed in him, even if it were a few thousand, would result in millions and if not billions of people believing in Jesus for eternal life.
Even so much so that our years are called AD and BC, although now some people call it BCE, before the common era. But it used to be before Christ and in the year of our Lord.
And so 11 would have somewhat rapid growth, but not necessarily immediate, but it's going to permeate and it's going to grow, just similar to the mustard seed before.
Well, thanks, Steve, and thank you all, and keep grace
in focus.
Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, would you like to have some hidden treasure? Find out more as you join us next time. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.